The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis, Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. You know, Alan, a discussion about, you know, the plight of the black community could not be complete unless we talk about government-sponsored poverty. A lot of people might ask, what the heck is he talking about, since government is all about, or at least the Great Society programs, were supposed to be all about lifting people up out of poverty. But when you really think about the results of what, 50 years of the Great Society programs, it has been to promote and perpetuate poverty. And let's look at some of the ways the government actually does that. The government promotes multi-generational dependency through welfare and other entitlements. They encourage illegitimate births by paying women more money to have more kids. They push low-income people into government-sponsored housing. They maintain the prohibition against drugs, which results in a crime wave in the inner cities. They parole unrehabilitated criminals back into the society. And when you look at it, you have to ask yourself, why in the world would intelligent people running our government think that programs and policies that do these things is going to actually lift people out of poverty? You have to question what their real, what their motives are and their real intent.
Well, I was taking some notes while you were talking, and I basically wrote down poverty pimps, and then I wrote this down: investing in poverty, there is a profit in poverty. Someone must provide services and cheap products to the poor.
That's true.
So I think that me and you can look around and from our experiences and what we see happening in society, and most people can, and conclude that there is profit to be made off of the poor.
But what, there has to be some political support for what's being done. How is it that people of good intent, Christian people, you know, the electorate in this country, who is the most part Christian, good intention, how can they possibly, over decades, continue to support politicians who perpetuate this program? I don't get it.
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, you talk about people, so-called Christians, supporting these politicians. Even more so than supporting these politicians, they support their politics. And from where me and you sit, it seems as though those politics is what perpetuates this poverty. So what's the difference between me and you and these people that continue to support those politicians? I believe the difference is myself and you, we tend not to be surface dwellers. We look beyond the surface and actually investigate and conclude based upon our investigation that, you know what, this practice of basically entitlements and welfare, it doesn't benefit anybody. You know, in a previous show, I had mentioned that I haven't seen welfare break any cycles of poverty.
Absolutely, it encourages.
But yet, there's a political party out there, the Democrat Party, that continues to invest in entitlements and welfare. I think the main reason why they do that is because they know, as a result of doing that, they're going to be able to continue that allegiance that they have with the black community, simply by creating that perception that, you know what, these people, they're going to look out for our best interests. They're going to give us our EBT cards, et cetera, et cetera. And over the years, you know, we've come accustomed to relying upon the Democrat Party for the little pennies that we want.
And that leads me to a conclusion that I've come to. That is perfect time that you said that, because I sincerely believe poor black people and to a certain extent poor white people have become pets, and they're treated like pets.
Absolutely.
Think about it. You have a pet. Unless it's a service dog that provides a specific service, you shove food and water in one end, poop comes out the other, and you don't really expect anything of them except a few warm fuzzies, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's basically how poor people are treated in this country. You know, we shove food, we give them food benefits, we give them housing, we give them clothes on their back, and now we're going to give them free medical insurance. And what do we really require of them? A few warm fuzzies. We say we're doing the right thing. That's a compassionate thing. We're a compassionate Christian country. And so we provide all these things just like we would to our pets.
Exactly.
And basically not require anything of them. And how in the hell can we make ourselves believe that's actually benefiting them? It's crazy to me.
Well, let me say this, Elf. My thing, this is probably going to turn everything upside down for a lot of people, but I blame the poor people.
Well, no doubt.
They, you know,
because a lot of them
now that's going to move
up out of that.
Well,
not
but,
everybody stays in
right,
poverty.
Well,
so,
but,
so you're right. I agree with you.
I blame the poor people. And now these bleeding heart liberals, and they're not going to agree with that. They're going to look at the poor people as being exploited, and there's nothing they can do about it because they're poor. But they're forgetting one thing. They have a viable mind in just like the rest of us.
And they have a,
at some point in time,
choice.
You can decide, right, exactly, to make the correct choice and do the correct thing. Or you can continue on allowing somebody to exploit you, take advantage of you, and provide for you what you feel like, you know, you need.
But that's a very powerful draw. If you you're born into poverty, you don't have a lot of role models in your immediate vicinity, and somebody's going to send you money and services and take care of you, that's a very powerful incentive to accept the status quo, the crumbs. And it takes, I think, a strong personality to say, I want more than this. I don't want to just be comfortable sitting here in this government housing. I want more. I want to own my own home. I want a college education. I want my kids to live better than this. To that sense, I agree with you that they themselves are responsible for staying in this sort of pet community that the government provides. But on the other hand, don't we as citizens in our system, we're actually the government, we the people. We just hire a few managers in the form of presidents and senators and congressmen and governors and whatever. We hire them to administer our government. So in a sense, we're responsible for them. And don't we owe a debt to our society, to the continuation of our society, to demand more of these people? Why should we let them drop out of school, have babies they can't afford, don't know how to raise, become burdens on society? Why should we allow them to do that? Forget about their own good. What about the money it costs?
Because
I look.
Let me jump in real quick, because I love that you said, shouldn't we demand more? There's one big problem with demanding more in today's society. It's racist.
No, it's not racist.
No. But I'm telling you, that's what the left has labeled. When people like on the right, like me and you, say that we should demand more from the poor and from their representatives that continually give them what they want, we're being racist. Because when we say that we demand more, we're asking people to pick themselves up pull themselves up by the bootstraps and get out there and bust your butt. We should demand and require more from the poor.
Absolutely.
Now, because guess what? If they don't take care of themselves, begin to take care of themselves, they're not going to be taken care of, because at the rate this country is going in the direction that we're moving, we're going to run out of other people's money. So let me say this to the poor. You had better begin to look out for yourself. You had better make some very difficult decisions to go out and work two full-time jobs as opposed to relying upon government assistance, because that government assistance, let me tell you, is going to run out.
Well, you know, the current administration kind of eliminated or laxed on the work requirement. So they don't even have that incentive anymore to get out there and work. But getting back to this racism thing, to me, it's more racist to think someone does not have the ability to perform
absolutely
on a level with me or with
absolutely
my peers. That to me is the racism. That to me is more racist to say, oh, we have to provide these things to you just like we do to our pets,
mm-hmm.
Keeping them on down on the level of pets. That to me is racist.
Now, can you help me disseminate that message around the country? Because in the Low Information Voter Project, that's one of the messages that we put out there. Frederick Douglass Republicans, that's one of the messages that we put out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get people to identify with that message. And Frederick Douglass, he basically said the same thing. That's the reason why he said show the slaves, the former slaves, no favor. He didn't want the government to give them entitlements and to help them. He said that those people could take care of themselves. And hell, I would agree with him. They made it through slavery.
Absolutely. And if you can make it through, if you can survive slavery, you can surely survive whatever challenges come up in a free society where you have equal access.
So why then are we doing so poorly in the urban core and black communities?
As far as I'm concerned, a lot of it is government-sponsored poverty. They give people an incentive to be lazy, to slack off, to accept the crumbs of society and be comfortable with that. That, to me, is worse than racism. You're not saying somebody is a less of a human being. You're saying that they're more like a pet. To me, that's worse than racism.
Well, here's another thing. Oftentimes in the black community, we like to refer to ourselves as kings and queens. And I understand where that came from.
Every village must have had a king and queen, right?
Exactly.
That tickles me too.
And I understand that there's something that came out of that movement to create self-pride and whatnot.
But it's goofy to say that.
It's silly.
On the face of it is silly.
It is silly. But my thing is this. If we're kings and queens, then let's act like that.
Ah, yeah.
Let's act like kings and queens.
That's right.
Let's be responsible for ourselves and self-reliant, et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, I'm not talking about, you know, when I say self-reliant, some people might misinterpret that and think I'm talking about being a separatist or something like that. By no means. I just want to clear that up.
No, but be productive within the system.
Exactly. Be productive within this wonderful, beautiful American system. You can't go anywhere else in this world and find something so distinguished, you know, and we live in the land
so
of opportunity.
Open, so open to the common man because, you know, kings and queens, wherever they are, dictators, they live good.
Exactly.
Okay, they've always lived good. But when it comes to the common man, it don't get any better than this system we have. And why people would let or continue to elect government officials that perpetuates dependency in this land of plenty and this land of opportunity is beyond me.
Who was Bill Gates before Microsoft? This is the land of opportunity. Who was Bill Cosby before the Cosby Show and all of his accomplishments?
Look at Bill Gates. He's a college dropout. But the opportunity is boundless in this country. All you have to do is understand that it's on you. That you don't have to depend on the government, that you can go out there and achieve.
And instead of so many, I want to talk about the black community again very, very quickly. And instead of so many black people having an attitude that they want to blame people and they want to be angry and they want to have a chip on your shoulder, here's what I suggest. Be positive. Go out and get allies, white, black, Hispanic, Go out and find people that are being productive, that are being successful, and get up under those people and learn how to be productive and learn how to be successful.
Right.
You will find yourself becoming successful much more rapidly than you will walking around being angry with the chip on your shoulder.
But I think the biggest thing is refrain from the self-destructive behaviors.
Absolutely.
Stay in school. Stay off drugs.
Absolutely.
Don't have babies you don't know how to deal with.
Absolutely.
And if you do those things, get as much education as you possibly can, you can be successful and you can have a damn good life.
And just I want to add to that, it's really about you have to continue to fight. You know, every day is a battle. Every day is a battle, but so many people, they're just throwing the towels
too easily. There's a lot of temptation. It's so easy to drift off into government-sponsored poverty, crime. It's just so easy to take the easy way out because, let's face it, it's hard working 40 hours a week for 30 or 40 years. That's not easy. It's easier to go to crime rate, to go to government-sponsored poverty in a social services program. That's the easy
part. Let me say this real quick, and I mentioned this to a buddy last night. That's the reason why every student in America, once they're in elementary, junior high, and high school, this should happen three times throughout their primary education. They should visit the soup kitchen, the morgue, and the penitentiary.
And I, as far as I'm concerned, it should be illegal to drop out. I can't help it.
Absolutely.
And if you can't make it in a regular school, that should be a reform school or a jail school for you.
And last but not least, let me throw in, let's put some emphasis on trades. Everybody doesn't have to go to college.
Right.
Let's put some emphasis on trades and mentor programs and things like that.
Absolutely. Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.